Blog Talk Radio. All right. Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I'm going to teach you with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I'd like to welcome y'all this morning to our broadcast, as we are broadcasting live from two places, Albuquerque, New Mexico, our school location there, 7710 Suite F, Mel Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And also here from San Antonio, Texas, as we're on our Blog Talk Radio page. As you know, you can reach us on our Blog Talk Radio page at area code 646-668-2568. Again, you can call into the show live at area code 646-668-2568. Another way you can reach us, for some cell phone carriers, have a conference call charge. For calling into conference calls, such as the Blog Talk format. So if there's a charge that they're trying to hit you with, another way you can reach this is if you use your smartphone, laptop, or tablet to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com. Once you pull that page up, go to the search box and type in Mashaba. And the way I spell my name is M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. Once you have done that, then our Blog Talk Radio page will come up. And on there you'll see episodes, and it'll say live. Go ahead and click, you know, the sideways triangle of the play button, and you'll be able to stream the show live through the website. And that will avoid any charges you might receive if your cell phone provider is trying to charge you with the conference call numbers or conference call dialing. That's one way around that right there. As you know, we do try and produce our show on Mondays and Wednesdays from 9 p.m. to about 10:30 p.m., and that's Albuquerque time. And then we try and come back on Tuesdays and have from 9 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. On Tuesdays and Thursdays. We invite you to join the brothers and sisters out there in Albuquerque on Friday nights as we get together and go over a Sabbath class at the school. 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And then another way, and then on Saturdays, they do get together and go over the Torah and have a Sabbath feast. And that Sabbath feast is becoming a real get together. Every sense of the word, a convocation, every sense of the word, gathering. The Sabbath then is definitely going down. Every Saturday, every Sabbath feast, it goes on every Saturday. So we invite you to get in touch with the brothers and sisters there in Albuquerque. Again, if you'd like more information, you can contact the Brother Ice Weidzah, area code 505-218-4218 is one way to get in touch. Or go by the school. Go by the school again at 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. On Mondays and Wednesdays between 8 and 9:30 Albuquerque time. And then again on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right? And be able to give the brothers and sisters and families. As they also hold a raffle, I was looking to announce to everybody, they're raffling off a very beautiful, elegant garment. They're trying to raise money for the school out there and for the sewing program. They're trying to get established, sewing business, they're trying to get established there in Albuquerque. The garment is the tunic with the girdle, the armbands, and the headband. And it's really, it's elaborate. It is immaculate. It's some serious work being done. Serious leather work. It's beautiful. And in holding this raffle, they're asking $30 per ticket. All right, so again, please get in touch with any one of the members there in Albuquerque. I'll go by the school, 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. Go by there. I'll help you help out. Or again, reach out to the Brother Ice White Design, Erico 505-218-4218. He can help accommodate you with getting the tickets for the raffle. All right. If you'd like to see pictures of the other garment, you can text me. Area code 210-784-8463. Again, area code 210-784-8463. text me and just say garment. All right. You need to put your, whatever. Just say, hit me up with garment. I can forward you the pictures of the garment or the headband. It's the tunic, the headband, the armband, and girdles. We have to see pictures of what they're wrapping off. And it's really worth it. I mean, the leather work itself, just for at $30, the leather work itself is way, each armband is probably worth more than $30. And go ahead and get the armbands, plural, the girdle, and the headpiece done, as well as the tunic. It far surpasses the $30 that you'll be paying. But again, this is to help raise money for the school, help raise money for the school and for the sewing department out there in Albuquerque. So, we invite you to check that out and help out and show your support that way. As you also know, if you'd like to show some support to the Albuquerque school, as I pull this up, if you'd like to send any tithes, priest funds, or offerings and helping out the Albuquerque school, we invite you to use Google Wallet or Google Pay is what they call it. And the address there is isbhpkabq@gmail.com. If you have your bank account hooked up to your, Google Wallet account, you can send tithes, priest funds, or offerings to isbhpkabq@gmail.com, and they'll be able to receive any financial donations that you might want to drop off. As you know, we're always still in need of any school supplies, encyclopedias, biblical maps, as we're really after right now, our computers, laptops, apocryphas, encyclopedias, King James Bibles, school supplies, to be able to help disseminate this information to the people as they come to the school there. If you'd like to leave any donations, again, printers, copiers, printer ink, print paper, please get in touch with the Brother Ice Writers on, or just come by the school. Again, 7710 Suite F, Monarch Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87110 being the address and the zip code out there. It's all helpful and it's all needed as we're trying to maintain and help Albuquerque School grow. As much as the San Antonio camp has grown, as much as Houston is growing and puzzling away, and Norfolk is definitely growing, we definitely want to don't let Albuquerque fall to the wayside. So all your help and support, spiritually, financial, and prayers is definitely asked for and needed and appreciated. Okay. The only announcement we're going to get out the way is, again, I'm going to try to make it known that Hanukkah does begin this year, December 19th at sunset. Hanukkah is December 19th at sunset. It's an 8-day celebration, and that goes on to the 26th of December. Everyone start making our preparations and our provisions again for that time. That we want to make it to challenge, not even challenge, but to actually compete with the Christmas holidays, the pagan holidays that's going to be around the world. Especially around the states and around the cities that we have to live in. We want to make something special and make something pure and something to look forward to for all the kids in all the different cities and different camps that we inhabit, whether it be in Albuquerque, San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, or wherever you might be at as an Israelite, that as we get ready to observe the Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, that we want to put a lot of spirit, a lot of effort, and make it something very enjoyable for the kids. One thing I know that's done in Albuquerque and San Antonio is a gift exchange. That's one thing that we want to focus on is a gift exchange, and we want to try and provide all the kids from school age on up through families, brothers and sisters, a gift exchange. And then for the younger children, trying to accommodate and giving them a gift every day of the 8 days. And with something, right? Something that when you have, it's not a scripture, but the saying is, it takes a village to raise a child, that if each of us could just get some dollar, I won't go that cheap, but get some type of present or some type of gift, something for the kids. And then when the whole village, everybody is giving kids all these great things, these gifts, during Hanukkah for this dedication. That it makes our kids now look forward to our holy days, no different than as the pagan society we're living in now. Start making preparations now towards Christmas. Trying to make preparations now towards as Halloween, you know, 2 days away, and then Thanksgiving, Christmas is right around the corner. They're already starting to put up Christmas decorations, getting everybody mentally prepared for that time and looking eager for that time. Well, we want to apply the same method and strategy and training our children up in the righteous ways of the Most High, and that they look forward to and excited about their culture, about their heritage, being Hanukkah. Again, the feast of dedication, which does last 8 days. Just like, well, you know, for this past Feast of Tabernacles, having the kids be able to come together and sleep in tents together, as we did it. This year happened to be at the school, but, you know, before we've done it at Yasser Allah's house, San Antonio, we've done it at Samson's house, and we was actually trying to arrange to go up to Canyon Lake, you know, this past year, but we need a little more preparation so that next year, if we're here, that the Feast of Tabernacles can be the week-long observance, week-long celebration where we actually go out to Canyon Lake or some campsite for the 8 days, and like was done in Albuquerque. And all the families and kids are there and just enjoying each other's company and enjoying the adventure, and enjoying the thrill of actually sleeping in tents for those 8 days and being together in that type of environment. That we want to do the same thing, put as much energy and spirit and life into Hanukkah. And for those 8 days, making it really special for the kids, making it really enjoyable to where it's something they look forward to, that they're asking, when is Hanukkah? Forget Christmas, where you only get one present, or you get presents on one day. That the Hebrews, the Israelite kids, we get gifts for 8 days. All right, and you know, just something to work on the psychology of the kid to challenge because of how much emphasis this society, this modern wicked society that we're in, puts on the Christmas holidays. That we want to be able to combat that. That we don't want our children going through the Christmas blues, the holiday blues, that they didn't get this, they didn't get that, and seeing everybody else with all these other things, and we get left out. Israelites get left out. Well, we have the holiday of Hanukkah going on during that same time, the dedication, where we get a chance to help instill in our children the thrill of being dedicated to the Most High, the benefit of being dedicated to the Most High. So again, December 19th at sunset is the beginning of Hanukkah, and that does last through December 26th, 2019, for Hanukkah. If you joined us last night, one thing we started to go over was fruit of the spirit. I'm sorry, first love, first work. All right, and one thing we were discussing is that we were really going into Luke 22, where Christ was talking to Peter and explaining to Peter that he has seen him. If I can just read it again real quick, not even quickly, I can read it again and catch up with today. And again, if you're joining us, thank you for joining in. Again, well, you can reach the Eric at 646-668-2568, and we ask, please forward the show information to any and everybody. All right? Please forward the show information to any and everybody as we're trying to grow. Just like with our brother Caps in San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, we really want to grow. We really want to build this up. So we ask that you help put the word out, that we are definitely broadcasting, all right? That we're definitely live, and that our shows are on. And we will resume our YouTube classes just as soon as I can get back up to Albuquerque, or the brothers decide they just want to go ahead and shoot the YouTube classes from ISBHBK Albuquerque. You know, we want to keep that going as well, okay? But as I'm pulling up my electronic Bible here on my computer, I'm going to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to start reading at verse 20. All right, just like we were reading last night as I go through the rest of the class. But in Luke chapter 22 and verse, I'm sorry, 29. Luke chapter 22 and verse 29. It reads, "Now I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And again, we was going over this pretty extensively last night, so I'm not going to go recap the whole thing. But just going over this, that yes, Christ is talking to the disciples. He's talking to the apostles. And let them know, I appoint you a kingdom. Now, we as Israelites have a kingdom to look forward to. We as Israelites have the kingdom of heaven to look forward to, that we're going to be in control. We're going to be in rulership under the righteous laws, guidance, and supervision of the Most High and Christ. And that it's going to be a righteous kingdom. And that we're going to return back to our rightful place as the governors and stewards of the earth. Again, so Christ is letting the apostles know, the disciples here at this time, that their hard work is going to pay off. That the trials and tribulations have not been in vain. Matter of fact, I'm starting verse 28. I'm sorry. I'm going to start at verse 28. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Now I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me." Because the disciples and the apostles continued in the same temptations and tribulations and persecutions that Christ went through, Christ is telling them, "Look, because y'all have done this, I have a kingdom waiting for you. All right, I'm going to go." I mean, he told them when he left, "I go to prepare a place for you." All right, the kingdom. All right, that's what is ready for us. That the kingdom is prepared for us. But we had to go through from the time we talked to the apostles and the disciples. They had to be the prophecies said that had to take place still. As far as all Israel being exiled out of the land of Israel, us coming to the Americas, us learning that we're being taught the lies that we're Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans, force-fed all the religions, force-fed all the philosophies, and again, being exiled out of the promised land, and being here in the land of our oppressors, being here in the land of our enemies, being here in a land where we're subject to debt, we're subject to to payments, we're subject to sickness, we're subject to the bottom of everything. Again, all those prophecies had to still take place. But he's letting the apostles know, again, in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Once I'm getting a text in. And again, if anybody has any questions or scriptures, please hit me up, 210-784-8463. I got you. All right, I got you. Let's see here. And forgive me again, I'm asking the question real quick. Okay, so reading on, it says verse 20-31, and the Lord said unto Simon, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And one thing he was going into with the class last night, If you'd like to listen to the class in its entirety, you can download the podcast on Google Podcasts. Once you download the app, Google Podcast, put it in blogtalkradio.com. Then once you get get that website through the Google Podcast, again, type in my name, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and that'll give you a link to all of our episodes and all our shows that we've done. If you hit the subscription button, every time we do a show, it is recorded on the Google Podcast. You'll be able to listen to the show at your leisure, right? But we just went over this extensively last night, and I don't want to repeat the exact same things from last night. But he said, and the Lord said to Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And one thing we was really trying to bring out last night, and with the example, and if it's, that the Christ is giving Peter, but he says, sift you as wheat. Then he may sift you as wheat. And if you get the mental picture of something being sifted, similar to sand in an hourglass, that it's something that's pouring out. It's not all of a sudden. It's not all just one big dump, but it's gradual. Right, it's gradual. Depending on how wide the hole is, when someone's being sifted, that is gradual. It works on you over time. That is not anything that's quick, right? But that it's over time that you get wore out. It's over time that you get pulled on. And so Christ is telling Simon Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that you're not going to be as potent as when you first get started. You're not going to be as strong or as zealous or as fervent or as on fire as when you first get started, because you're being sifted like wheat's being sifted. That there's an attack on you, Simon. There's an attack on your fire. There's an attack on your integrity. It's going to be an attack on your strength. And remember, the reason this is important is, remember, Peter, whose name was changed to Cephas, which means stone in Greek, but in Hebrew, it would be a bond. That he was a stone, that he was solid. He was very dependable. So Christ told Peter, unto you I give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That he was a stand-up guy, but that he was going to be sifted. That there's going to be an attack on him that's going to try and drain him of his potency. It's going to try and drain him of his eagerness. Try and drain him of his character. And it was going to be a gradual attack. Verse 32 tells us what? But Luke chapter 22, verse 32 says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. That as you realize and you recover yourself from this attack, from these attacks, when you're converted, when you get your mind back right, go back now and strengthen the brothers. Because if it's hitting you, it's going to hit them. You're the strength. You're the pillar. You're the stone that Christ said, I'm going to build this kingdom, I'm going to build upon. Then knowing that if you get attacked, it's going to affect the rest of the brother. You get attacked and going to hear what you're getting hit with. Once you convert, when you come back from this attack, you get your mind and spirit right, go and strengthen the brothers. And to me, again, this has been very eye-opening for me, and realizing and understanding that when it does say things written in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, things written aforetime were written for our learning. Ecclesiastes 2 and 1, that when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation and to constantly endure and to refresh yourself, but with the scriptures. And that was the point of why I came back and named this class for this morning, spiritual gardening. I named the class Spiritual Gardening. And, well, let's just get into it. I guess that's the best way to describe it, is that in coming into this work, coming into the truth, if you will, the work that each of us was given was very easily described. And two scriptures just came to my head. I'm going to say John chapter 15, verse 14. Come on, computer, don't freeze on me now. Okay. St. John chapter 15, and verse 14. And there's a nice, it's been drizzling here in San Antonio. If you know, make it for some good, great night's sleep. I just remind you, I can hear the raindrops again right now. I'm sorry, I say St. John chapter 14, 15 verse 14. I meant 14 verse 15. And it reads, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, everybody's first love, when they came into the truth, there are different things that inspire different people from when we first came in. For some people, it might have been the show of strength and authority. If it was seeing the brothers marching, if it was seeing the brothers street speaking. For others, it might have been the information and the knowledge that they was able to flip through the scriptures the way they did, and it was just amazing. For others, it might have been something like just a feeling they have all their life about the garments, about the culture, the way of life, or whatever it might have been, and it was just really attractive. But each of us have different inspirations about why we call ourselves Israelites. But the one common denominator that we have, and we're going to look at it from Christ's perspective, not our own perspective, because each of us has our own opinion and our own perspective. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, sometimes we get to the point where we figure because somebody doesn't share my exact same opinion or share my exact same outlook, that they might be considered off. They might be considered wicked. They might be considered contrary. But that's not the case at all. That really is not the case at all. The one thing each of us did in showing Christ's love, how does Christ look at love? Each of us has our own definition of love. Each of us does. For a parent to a child, it could be if this child keeps their room clean, and knowing that that's something that the parent really respects, the fact that the child observes that behavior, that will be able to, the parent recognize that, okay, that's love. For another, it might be the fact that there's a lot of hugs, all right? Just a lot of hugs, and that's how love is acknowledged. For others, it might be the fact that my child can talk freely to me as if we're equals. My child doesn't call me dad. My child doesn't call me mom. My child calls me my first name, and it's in that respect, it's in that relationship that we have love for each other. For others, it might be, crazy as it may seem, love might be seen as we just fight. That it's the fact that somebody fights with me. It's the fact that somebody doesn't back down to what I do. And they stand there against me. That's how some people recognize love. I'm just trying to give examples of many different things a person might use. For another person, you bring me chocolates. Another person, whenever I come to the door, there's a beer waiting. Whatever it might be, that each of us has a particular standard, a particular definition of what love means to me, or how somebody showed me love. Well, guess what? Christ has the exact same thing. Christ has the exact same standard also. And again, Christ tells us what though? In St. John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how does Christ recognize if we love him? Is it the fact that we sing a lot? Now for us, that might be, we think we're showing love because we sing, we do a lot of singing. But how does Christ recognize if we love him, if we keep his commandments? That's Christ, and he's letting us know his mind. He's letting us know how he thinks. He's giving us his perspective here. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll bring me roses. If you love me, you know I hate carnations. You know I hate daisies. You'll bring me roses. Or whatever a particular person's thing might be. Well, we're seeing here with Christ that the way he recognizes if you love him is what? St. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that was the first love that he recognized in all of us, is when we start keeping his commandments, because it was his commandment. That was the work and the first love that he recognized in us. Now, we know there's another scripture, several scriptures that come to my head as I'm going over this. Last night we were talking about people who, that one of the commandments is not to eat pork. Well, if you happen to grow up as a Muslim, and Muslims don't eat pork, is the fact that you're not eating pork because you're a Muslim, is that showing love to Christ? Really, it's not. Really, it's not. That's a lifestyle that you happen to be living. That's something that you've adopted into your thing. But you're not eating pork because you're trying to please Christ. You're not eating pork because you grew up Muslim, not eating pork. Or you might grow up as a vegetarian. Yeah, as we live in these modern times now, that we have a lot of people that are vegetarians or vegans. So they don't deal with any meat at all. Whether it is lawful in the Bible or not, they're not dealing with any meat. They don't even deal with eggs that come from chickens. They don't eat fish. They don't even drink milk because it comes from animals. Okay, even though, again, the blessing that God gave the Israelites was the land of milk and honey. Some people won't eat honey because it comes from animals, comes from bees. They've gotten that strict. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that they've chosen to live that lifestyle before coming into the truth. Now, if you're the type of person who doesn't eat pork and you grew up that way, what's your reason for not eating pork? If your reason for not eating pork is not because Christ said so, because the Bible said so, then you're not showing Christ love, because you're not doing it to keep his commandments. You got your own set of standards and rules and regulations and integrity and morals that you're living by. But the fact that you're not eating pork, it was not based on the scripture that you want to honor Christ and the Most High by obeying the scriptures, by keeping the commandments of the Christ and the Most High. It was not being done in that manner. And I'm only using the eating of pork as the very, very tippy top of the iceberg. That if it's being done, but not because it's commanded from Christ, then you're not showing love to Christ. You're showing love to your body. You're showing love to your health. You're showing love to your circumstances. But where are you obeying the commandments? That the reason you do it is because Christ said so. And again, we can take that same now scenario and we can put that within a multitude of other scenarios. That From four, can we do it four? Say it's study. Just take it here. Study. Do you study because the scripture says study to show yourself approved unto Christ and the Most High? Or do you study so you can look like you're smart? Do you study so you can just not be told anything by anybody? Or is your motivation for studying because you want to please Christ in the Most High? Is your motivation for studying the scripture, study the scripture of proof to the Most High? What is your motivation for doing the things that you do? If you're using the scripture to get these done, this is where we're showing Christ and the Most High love, because we're doing it for their love. We're doing this to show them we love them. And the reason that's important, because as it was told to Simon Peter about being sifted as wheat, that if we're not continuing to water, and this is as we get to as we get into our class, if we're not going to continue to water that first love of when we came in, that I want to please Christ in the Most High, so I'm going to do this so I can please Christ in the Most High. Not, well, I've already been doing this, so I'm perfect. I've already, you know, this, I already knew this, so you ain't told me, man, that makes me more holy and righteous than the rest of y'all. That's not what this is about. Have you taken on and done things because, from the simple fact, because the scripture said so? If that has been your motivation, or any of our motivation, and that was our motivation in coming in, that I'm doing these things because the scripture says so. Not because man says so, not because a dream said so. I'm doing it because the scripture says so. That's when we get to show Christ we love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. If we're doing it based on the scriptures, as we go through our battles and our journeys and our experiences, the question does come up, why am I doing this? The question does come up, why am I putting myself through this persecution, tribulation, hell, or whatever it might be? And if your motivation has not been based on the scriptures, that you can go back to the scripture to remind yourself, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is why I'm going to keep pushing. This is why I'm going to keep going. This battle is designed. Yeah, if we're not using Christ and the scriptures for our motivation, that something is going to offend. That something is going to get under our skin. And we get to the point where now I refuse to go on any further. I've been doing this for such and such amount of months. I've been doing this for such and such amount of years. And I'm not seeing any change. I'm not seeing any growth. I'm not seeing anything. I'm out. I just can't put up with this anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. That person has forgotten why they were doing it in the first place. And again, if you were never given scriptures so that this is why you know what you're doing, and you're not using the scriptures to maintain why you're doing what you're doing, you've lost your first love. You stopped doing the first work. That the reason you did the things you did is because the scripture says so. Again, if there was from the beginning any fork, why did you stop eating pork? Because the scripture says so. Why you start gathering together on Sabbath? Because the scripture said so. You might have been a person who doesn't gather with people. You might have been you had no problem being a hermit. You had no problem just being isolated in your room. But the scripture says gather together. So what made you fight yourself and start gathering together? It was your love for Christ and the Most High that the commandment says what? Gather together. So the fact that you had to challenge yourself, the fact you had to go against your own way of thinking, your own way of whatever, that you might be able to obey the commandment, that's what Christ saw that you loved him. That you're doing it to please Christ. You're doing it because the scripture says so, and this will please Christ. We don't want to lose that. That, as it says, now and coming back, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, if we can go there real quick. I don't know why I said real quick. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It reads, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And I wanted to key in on where it says the seed is the word of God. That the seed is the word of God. And we're going to keep that in mind. And yes, many people are familiar with the rest of the parable about the seeds by the wayside, the seeds in good ground, the seeds in stony places, no doubt. But that seed gets planted. The word of God gets planted in you. Now the question is, does that seed continue to get watered? And watered by what? Other scriptures. Or it says, see, the word of God is planted in you. And now, you don't water that seed. You don't continue to water that seed with more scriptures. Remember, Paul came back and said what? One man planted, another waters. Are you continuing to have that seed, the word of God, that was planted in you for you to show the love of the Most High, show love to the Most High? Or has it become based on your feelings, your ability to endure, push through, have patience? Is it based on your holding on to the scriptures and you are consciously applying the scriptures, or is it just based on you ain't got nothing better to do? Or is it just based on it's routine? This is the routine I'm in. Bet. If it is based on that, we're in trouble, brothers and sisters. We're in trouble. We got to change that. Is your seed, that word that's been planted in you, is that being watered by other scriptures? Because the temptations that are set amongst, set out and about and amongst us and around us everywhere is designed to choke the word. It's designed to choke the scriptures. That if we don't fight to water the seed that's been planted, the words of the Most High that have been planted, we're not going to make it. Everything will be about how you feel. It'll get to the point now that your decisions about what's right and what's wrong will be based on how you feel, but it won't be based on because the scripture says so. Yeah, your decisions for what you do in this work Your decisions for what you do for the Most High in Christ won't be based on, because the scripture says so, it will be based on how you feel. And if you feel it, cool. That's the spirit. If you don't feel it, no, can't do it, that's not the spirit. But what happened to that love that you had when you first came in? That because the Bible said so, that's why you did it. And it had nothing to do with believing in men, believing in the man that was giving the message. It's because you were seeing the scriptures. That as John 15:3 tells us, that now you're clean through the word which I preach unto you. What cleaned your mind up from the errors of your ways? Somebody showed you a scripture. That cleans your mind up. What cleans your mind up about Christmas? Somebody showed you a scripture. What's supposed to clean your mind up about being a good father? Somebody plant the seeds, the scriptures in you about what it means to be a good Israelite father. And that those seeds get watered. That seed, the word of God that's planted in you about now, you've got the diet down. You've got the dress code down. Now about your more internal behavior. Now more about your outlook. From like when you first came in, all somebody had to do was show you the scripture, and that's why you followed and did what you did. Are we at the point now that I'm not following scriptures? When it comes to, I got to adjust now how to be a better father. I have to adjust now how to be a better husband. I have to adjust now how to be a better Hebrew Israelite father, a better Hebrew Israelite husband, a better Hebrew Israelite mother, a better Hebrew Israelite sister. Is it now based on your talk? Is it now based on your opinion? Whether it's good advice or bad advice? Is it now based on again, your feelings? Or can somebody show you the scriptures that this is what Christ and the Most High say you should do? Is that love still there? Not eating pork, not eating seafood, but is that first love still there that somebody can show you a scripture and that's all it takes for you to change? In other aspects of your life. Is that love still there that a scripture can be given and that's all you need to obey it? Or are we at the point now where there's got to be a lot more explanation? It just can't be one scripture, two scriptures. No. That now it's going to be a lot of talk and rhetoric. Now it's going to be a lot of justification. Now it's the Tupac school of philosophy. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. At what point are we at now? Are we allowing somebody to water us past the pork, past the shrimp, crab, and lobster, past the pagan holidays, and other aspects of my life? Am I letting Mosai's word get planted in me and let somebody come back and water the those concepts and those things in me, so I can be a better Hebrew Israelite to Christ in the Most High. Am I still allowing myself to be motivated by the scriptures? Or am I back to the point where even though somebody shows me scriptures, I have a debate in my mind? I have an excuse in my mind about how and why that scripture doesn't really apply to me. If you really understood my situation, then you know you would not tell me to do this. You know you would not tell me to have this. You know you would tell me not to, this, that, or whatever. As it got to the point that I will only obey a scripture if I believe the person giving it to me is my friend. Is that the point we've gotten to? That if I think this person has my best interest at heart and gives me a scripture, then I'll consider the scripture. But if I don't think they have my best interest at heart, I'm not dealing with that. That now my obedience to the scriptures is based on how I feel about the person giving me the scripture? And that was your first love? We want to have the seeds or the words of God planted in our spirits, in our minds, in our souls, but then they got to be watered. If not, they're going to get choked out. And then we will look for so many outside stimulus, so much outside stimulation that now porn don't seem so bad. That now that weed, it don't seem so, that cigarette don't seem so bad. The bacon on the chicken sandwich is not really that bad. I missed one Sabbath gathering. I missed two Sabbath gatherings. I missed three Sabbath gatherings. It's not really that bad. I still think about the Most High when I'm by myself. Well, what about one plants but another waters so that the Most High can bring an increase? It's not a scripture. I wish it was. No man's an island. The closest scripture I could think about would be get yourselves together. We really have to make sure, if we're not careful, that we're being sifted as Satan sifted Peter. But then Peter had to be converted and come back and strengthen the brothers. Is our motivation for what we do based on the scriptures. And I'm talking about a lot more internally. If you happen to be a male, and you never grow a beard anyway, so there was never a reason to shave. You never grow a beard. Then how can a person rightfully say in their mind, well, I never shave, so that's how I'm showing Christ and the most I love. You never shave because you can't. But you may be put in the same category that you're showing Christ the most I love because you don't shave. You can't shave. So how is that showing Christ love? How is that obeying him directly? I'm still here. Again, just doing some reflecting. Moving on now. And so it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of the Most High. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, again, describes and goes over, one man plants, but another man waters. What does that man plant? The seed, which hopefully is the word of God, not the word of just charisma. That somebody is planting the words of God in you. But who is coming back and watering that? And keeping what the scripture says, so that there can be an increase. In a family situation, is the father planting the words of the Bible, the scriptures, in his family's minds? And then the mother is coming back and watering those same words so that there can be an increase, so that the Most High can bring an increase. Are the seeds of the Most High, are the scriptures being planted so that a person can, if it says prove all things, a person can go back to the scripture and say, this is why I do what I do. This is why I know I'm approved by God, because the scripture says do this, and this is what I do. My work, I don't have to be ashamed of the work I'm doing, because I am following what the scripture says. That if somebody asks me a reason of why am I doing what I'm doing, I can give them a scripture so that the Most High can be praised and given glory. Now I have a song repeated. Now I have a tambourine shook. The Most High gets his glory when people see my works, I'm able to give them the scripture that the reason I do this is because the scripture says do this. The Bible says do this. And because I'm doing what the Bible says, that's why this works. Because I'm doing what God says, that's why this works. But I can show somebody that scripture. So that scripture coupled with my example, it works. God's word can be planted in a person. The seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. Am I allowing myself to let the seed get planted? And then am I putting myself in a position where someone else can come and water it so that the Most High can get an increase? Or is this all about just how I feel? Has my judgment of what's right and what's wrong now become based on how I feel? If so, are we at the point where we realize we're being sifted as wheat? Like Christ warned Peter. Like Christ warned the church at Ephesus. I know your work, your trials, tribulations. I know your patience. I know you can't stand those that are evil. You have tried them to say they are apostles and found them to be liars. You are born and has patience, and for my name's sake you labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Am I doing what I'm doing because I still remember the scriptures? Or am I allowing myself to get to a point where I'm just doing it? I'm just operating. I'm just going. But I done lost track of why I'm doing it. And now, the reason to keep pushing, the reason to get up, the reason to keep going is diminishing. Especially, again, brothers, sisters, again, I have talked to myself in all this. Was not Christ left alone? And the reason I got to bring that up, how close was Judas Iscariot to Christ? And what kind of relationship did they have? That of all the thousands of disciples that became disciples, how close were these 12 men in relationship and getting to know the true personality of Christ himself? Did one of those men betray Christ? Peter, who's there when the soldiers from Caiaphas came and took him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter pulled a sword out, took off the guard's ear. Did Peter get to the point where he's ready to beat down a woman for just accusing him of being with her, of with Christ? Christ got to the point he was abandoned and left alone. But was his ability to endure the cross because the 12 closest, his posse, his entourage, was right there with him. Is that what gave him the power and the strength to keep going? Or was it the fact that he held on to the scriptures and understood that he had to go through this for Christ and for the Most High? And if we're followers of Christ, if we are the true Christians, and we are, do we not think that we're going to be put in these situations where we might be alone and the feeling of being betrayed and abandoned is going to happen? And is that going to be the thing that stops us from believing is because we were betrayed? Because we were left alone? Or is it that you have the scriptures in you and the scriptures are going to have you keep pushing? The scriptures are going to have you keep giving. I'm sorry, brother, sister. I'm sorry, y'all. Give me 1 minute.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Craig
Lucas. Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Make us straight.
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You will learn today.
Yep. Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than eight people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gonna change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see police?
Yep.
You wanna get shot down?
Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Never want to win.
No.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah.
I'm never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Never want to win.
No.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah.
Who's life to choose from? You have to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I heard Satan.
To choose.
Who's right to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose? Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yeah.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yeah.
Alright, brothers, I do apologize about that. I had to made some quick arrangements for a family member who was stuck, stranded real quick, but everything's good right now. So getting back to what we were going over about if we are followers of Christ, if the seed, if the word is not planted in us, but the only reason that we're doing what we're doing is because of the people around us. The people around me make me feel good about myself. The people around me make me, so they do for me, I'll do for them. If that's my only motivation for Revelation chapter 2, my work, my labor, my patience, I can't stand the evil. I've tried to withstand the apostles and find them to be liars. I've borne, I've had patience, and for Christ's name's sake, I've labored and not fainted. I'm still in the work. I still got some Israelite. I still show up to the school. I still don't shave. I still don't eat pork. But it's only based on, I'm around others doing the same thing, but it's not based on because the scripture says so. You're not going to make it. The offenses that are going to come, you're not going to make it. Your desire to want to spread the word, your desire to want to be, to show people the truth, your desire to want to teach, your desire to want to feed Christ's sheep. And that was the other condition for his love. Christ had two conditions of you showing him love. Keep his commandments and feed his sheep. But if you're only feeding those that give to you, I'm only going to give those scriptures to those who are worthy. I'm only going to give scriptures or share with those who have not offended me. The seed is not being planted and watered in you then. For all the works that were said in Revelation chapter 2, he said the one thing that he still had an issue with, from that bucket list of things that was he said he saw the person doing it. He saw the church of Ephesus doing. But the church of Ephesus lost the first love. I'm doing this because the scripture says so. I'm making whatever adjustments in my life simply based on because the scripture says so. We want to make sure that we're watering that. In Revelation chapter 3. Oh, let me get here. Let me catch up to where I was at. And keeping in mind with Luke chapter 8, verse 11, where it stated that now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. When we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we have the Apostle Peter giving advice about the same thing. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Is that seed being planted that is incorruptible? What's the incorruptible seed that should be planted in our brains, in our spirits, in our minds? All the words of God, all the scriptures. So yes, we can be born again by the seed, by the word of God, becoming new creatures, becoming new people. I'm losing my identity. You should be. But are you saying that you're losing your identity, you don't know yourself because you're not changing? If you've got these scriptures in you, you know that's a good thing. You understand that's you being born again. But not a corruptible seed, not from the seed or the knowledge or information that you got from your mom, your dad, from society, from your friends, but you're being born again by the uncorruptible seed of God, which is his word. That is what's being planted and watered in us. Or has that seed been planted in us, but it's withering? We got scriptures back in the day, but now it's withering, like wheat being sifted in a sieve. I'm not as potent. I'm not as powerful. I'm not as energetic. I'm not as willing. Because the things I've been through in this truth, because the things I've been through in this work. But when I first came in, all I needed was the scripture to be on fire, to be fervent, to give myself. But have I been keeping that seed watered? Again, I'm not talking about just keeping it the seat of, let me make sure I keep reading the scripture about nothing important because, you know, the temptation for pork is always there. I ain't talking about that. There was a willingness to want to change your diet when somebody showed you a scripture. Is there a willingness to want to change your behavior in other aspects of your life that need to be addressed? We want to continue to have that same love, that first love that caused us to have our first works with the Most High in Christ. That all it took was a scripture for me to change everything about myself. Or start to work on changing everything about myself. From when I came in, smoking a few packs of cigarettes a day when I came in, the stress levels I was going through was ridiculous. Being in the military. Somebody show me the scripture. Your body is the temple of the Most High. That's all it took me to go and stop smoking cigarettes. Was the temptation there to want to go back and smoke again? Most definitely. But what gave me the strength and the power to not do it was my belief and faith in holding on to the scripture that, yes, my body is the temple of the Most High. Now, I had a love for the Most High when I first came in that I was able to stop smoking because the scripture says my body is the temple of the Most High. And then, have I maintained that same love when it comes to maintaining my diabetes? No, I haven't. Have I maintained that same love when it comes to managing my health? No, I haven't. So as time is running down for today, I do want to thank everybody who's tuned in. Just a reminder, again, of now I'm going to be Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, and it says, remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard. What is that we received and we heard? It was somebody giving us a scripture. Again, words of Christ in red, Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. And hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The thing we received when we all first came in was scriptures. Are we still in that love? Are we still abiding in Christ's love? Have we been separated from Christ's love? Has tribulation, persecution, poverty, famine, nakedness, has that been weighing on and affecting how Christ wants to be loved? That in the midst of all of that, we're still keeping his command. We're still doing things the way he wants things done. That's a good scripture too. I want to pull it up. John chapter 15 and verse 10. John chapter 15 and verse 10. I'm going to post this on Facebook. St. John chapter 15 verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Is that love and that joy still in you, or is it things being done by constraint now? It's a burden now. If it's becoming a burden, are you still abiding in your first love and your first works? With that, brothers and sisters, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'd like to thank everybody for checking us out. Today's Tuesday. Tonight, please catch ISBHPK Norfolk. Right? ISBHPK Norfolk Live on the YouTube channel. And tonight's class, they'll start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So adjust yourselves accordingly to whatever time zone you might be in. I believe in Albuquerque, that would be 5 o'clock, I believe, is when it starts. If we're 2 hours behind, 5 o'clock is when the YouTube channel, the YouTube show ISBHBK Live, ISBHBK Norfolk Live, will be going. If you happen to be in the Houston area, even though they're not streaming class live tonight, there's still class being held, right? At 8524 South Glacier Boulevard, Houston, Texas 77071. Being a zip code there. There's still class in Houston, even though the class is going to be broadcast streamed live from Norfolk on YouTube tonight. Okay? In Albuquerque, there's the raffle being held for the garment, trying to raise money for the school out there and for the sewing department. We ask you please get in touch with the brother Ice Wipers off, Erica 505-218-4218 to get details on how you might be able to help out. If you have any donations or help that you'd like to help the school in Africa out with, please stop by the school, 77110 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Africa, New Mexico, 87110. Any donations you might have, computers, cars, laptops, Bible maps, ram's horns, whatever you might have to contribute, printer paper to help us with our flyer programs. Out in Albuquerque, any and all help and donation is needed and appreciated. So with that, my name is Rashad, and I'm going to thank you again. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And join us again there's supposed to be a show scheduled for tomorrow night, but I've got another engagement. So maybe one of the brothers in Albuquerque will assist me in holding the class down tomorrow night on Blog Talk. But if not, we know definitely Thursday morning, these same times that we just had, will be another show. So with that, stay blessed, stay good, keep gathering. Shalom.